Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight's show, Life Rattle number 1278, features three stories by new Life Rattle writer Lauren Tashiro. Lauren Tashiro was born in 1993 in Etobicoke, her parents' first and only child. When she was 6 months old, they moved to Guelph, where Lauren grew up and still lives now. Her father, a third-generation Japanese-Canadian, commutes to Toronto, where he works as a nuclear engineer. Her mother works as an analytical chemist on the outskirts of Guelph. Lauren enjoys reading, baking, playing video games, watching TV, playing hockey, and writing. Lauren Tashiro originally enrolled at university to study astronomy, but she changed majors and currently studies anthropology and writing. Although the theme varies in each of the stories you will hear tonight, the quality of Tashiro's writing is constant. Her prose feels fresh and honest. The tone in each story maintains a cautious reserve that leaves the reader with the sense that much is going on below the surface. All of the action in tonight's first story is confined inside a car. On the way home from a hockey game, a father, furious over what he considers poor play, unleashes on his young daughter trapped in the back seat. Let's listen now as Lauren Tashiro reads her story, Away Game, tonight on Life Rattle.
Away Game by Lauren Tashiro. I hate away games. Dad slams the trunk shut harder than usual. I buckle up my seatbelt and hold my breath. Mom starts the car. She doesn't say a word. I peek up at her and catch her looking in the rearview mirror at me. Her blue eyes flit away. Mom runs a hand through her brown blonde hair. Outside, it's dark, but the street lights illuminate the road and the snow piling on the ground. Dad clambers into our silver Toyota Highlander, which rocks under his weight. He slams the door, too. I shudder. I drop my head and swallow. Mom backs out of the parking spot and exits the lot of Lions Arena in Kitchener. The car is quiet. Not even the radio is on. Mom always has the radio on. I grip the swishy black pants of my team uniform. I'm glad that I sat behind Dad so I don't have to see his face. We drive down the road for a few minutes. Dad swivels in his seat and looks down at me. His dark eyes narrow, and his mustache frames his frown. Wrinkles appear on his forehead, bringing his receding hairline forward. Dad clears his throat. Here it comes. Well, you played like crap, he grumbles. 7 goals? Really? I clench my teeth. My heart pounds. I release my grip on my pants and shove my hands under my thighs. Kelvin, my mom interrupts. She glances at him. I notice her eyebrows in a furrow. The snow still drifts to the ground. No, Colleen, she played like crap, huffs my father. He turns back around in his seat and faces forward. All I can see is the top of his black curly hair. It takes a whole team to play hockey, Mom says. Lauren has to learn from her mistakes. She'll never be a good goalie if she doesn't learn, retorts Dad. For the first goal, you didn't have your glove up. And the second and third goals? Right through your 5-hole. You have to butterfly. Snap your knees. Don't be lazy. For the other goals, you tell me what you did wrong. I swallow again. My throat burns. I open my mouth to speak, but nothing comes out. Well, shouts my dad. I hate it. Dad has never played a single game of hockey in his life. yet he thinks he'd do better? I'd never say that, though. Never. The fourth goal, I didn't slide fast enough, I murmur as I choke back my tears. The fifth goal, I wasn't square to the puck. The sixth goal, I didn't control my rebound. And I can't remember the seventh goal. The seventh goal, you didn't T-push fast enough, shouts my dad. Yes, I choke. My heart sinks and my throat burns even more. My lips tremble. The tears roll down my cheeks. Dad continues to nag about what I did wrong, about how I need to improve. I sniff and wipe my tears. Kelvin, that is enough, screams my mom. Dad scoffs and doesn't say another word. The car is silent. The snow has stopped. I try not to think about what happened. Maybe tomorrow will be better. But my father's words continue to ring in my head. I hate away games.
That was Away Game, written and read by Lauren Tashiro. Tonight's second story takes us back to the days leading up to summer vacation, when an elementary schoolgirl discovers an unpleasant surprise deep inside her desk. She worries about who is watching. Let's listen now as Lauren Tashiro reads her story, Sandwich.
Sandwich, by Lauren Tashiro. Near the end of grade 2, we clean out our desks so that the next set of kids will have clean desks. We start cleaning in the afternoon. Our little portable is cool compared to the rest of the school, since it has air conditioning. Plain white linoleum covers the floor and the walls are painted beige. The desks are spread around the room. They used to be arranged in an orderly fashion, but the excitement of the coming summer holidays makes even the most organized person forget order. Miss Hauser watches over us as we clean. She is tall and slim, with short blonde hair. She pushes up her black glasses. If you need help, don't be afraid to ask me, she says. Everyone continues to clean without acknowledging her. I set down my blue Sydney 2000 Olympics backpack that Mom bought at McDonald's a few weeks earlier. I begin to pull out my books from my desk. I place the books into stacks, the big ones at the bottom and the smaller ones near the top. After sorting them, the small and medium-sized books sit on the floor, and I place the larger ones into my backpack. My classmate, Ryan, whose desk is full of clutter, loafs around. He mutters something under his breath, but I can't hear what he says. Ryan is short and stocky. He reaches up and scratches his short black hair. I shrug and pick up a pile of scrap paper from my desk. I head over to the garbage can. I make sure to look back since I'm paranoid about something being stolen. I drop the scraps into the plastic bin, return to my desk, and plop back down to the floor. People chat around me as I shove a few more books into my backpack. I set my spelling textbook on the top of the desk. I'm glad I won't need that anymore. Spelling is the easiest subject, but also the most boring. I place my math and science textbooks on top of the spelling book. My social studies and history textbooks are next, and the geography textbook is last. I kneel back down, letting out a small sigh. I am almost done. I peer into my desk and notice something squished in the far back corner. I reach in, and stretching my arm, I manage to touch the corner. It feels like plastic. I quickly pull back my hand. Looking into the desk, I narrow my eyes to try and adjust them to the darkness. I see a faint shine. As soon as you're done, you can go out for recess, Miss Hauser says. I swallow and reach back into the desk. I pinch the corner of the plastic between my index and middle finger. I pull out a plastic bag and hold it up. The contents of the bag are green and furry. Upon further inspection, I realize it is an old peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Luckily, it's sealed in the plastic Ziploc. "What is that?" Ryan asks. I look up at him. His face scrunches up, and his tongue peeks out of his mouth. I shove the bag in his face. "It's a moldy sandwich," I say. "Want a bite?" He shakes his head profusely. "Lauren found a moldy sandwich in her desk," he shouts. I hide the sandwich behind my back. Miss Hauser comes over and forces me to show her the sandwich. "Go throw it in the garbage," she orders. I nod and scurry over to the garbage can. I drop it in and drag my feet back to my desk. I wonder how long that sandwich had been in there. I rack my brains and remember I had put the sandwich in my desk a month ago when I was studying for a spelling test. I pick up the rest of my notebooks and shove them into my backpack. I go home that night and hope everyone will forget about the moldy sandwich by September.
That was Sandwich, written and read by Lauren Toshiro. Set on the east coast of Canada, the chill of a churning sea and endless gray skies gives a haunting feel to tonight's final story. Let's listen now as Lauren Toshiro reads her story, The Sea Never Says I'm Sorry.
The Sea Never Says I'm Sorry by Lauren Toshiro. My mom and I visit Nana in June. The siding on Nana's small house is painted bright green. The siding on almost every house in Nova Scotia is painted a bright color. Mom tells me it's so they can tell the houses apart. My mom and I sleep in the room that Mom used when she was young. The walls are a pale blue, and an old shag rug covers the wooden floor. We arrive at Martinique Beach before noon. My Aunt Janice says that the water will be cold, but I don't care. We only go to the beach when we visit Nana. Gray clouds cover the sun. Even the ocean looks gray. The long grass lining the beach sways in the wind. The beach is empty, except for a school of lifeguards training nearby. They're all wearing wetsuits. Janice looks at the water conditions board. "The water's 13 degrees," she cautions, pushing her glasses up her nose. "That's cold." I shrug. The air is warm and the waves crawl up the shore. That's all I care about. I walk toward the ocean, feeling the sand seeping between my toes. The waves wash up and touch my feet. The cold sends a shiver up my spine. I look back at my mom and aunt. They have already set down blankets. My cousin Kathy, her husband Dean, and their daughter Mari have arrived. I give a little wave as Janice comes to inspect the water. She waddles and her white hair blows in the wind. My aunt is short and wears a pink and white striped bathing suit. The bathing suit is a size smaller than what she should wear. "Is it cold?" Janice asks, adjusting her glasses. "Yeah, but I'll get used to it once I'm in," I tell her. My aunt nods. She dips her toes in the ocean, shivers, and waddles back up the shore. Slowly, I step closer to the waves. I tiptoe in until the water reaches my ankles. It's freezing. As my feet adjust, I attempt to go in further. I can feel the hair on my legs rise. The waves brush my knees. Suddenly, the cold overwhelms me and I dash out. I scurry up the beach back to where my relatives are. You were barely in there for 5 minutes, my mom complains. I'm going back in later, I mutter. I greet my cousin Kathy and her family. In her arms is her one-year-old daughter, Mari. Kathy has a shawl over her shoulders. Her long, straight hair is dyed a dark maroon. The straps of a black bikini top show from underneath her clothes. A scar peeks out between her cleavage. Dean sits beside her, wearing a similar amount of clothes. He has short, dark, curly hair. He's slim and wears glasses. Dean doesn't say much unless there are other men around. She's getting big, I comment. Kathy laughs and smooths Mari's curly blonde hair. I smile and wave at the curious baby. Mari stares at me with wide blue eyes. I'm tempted to pinch her plump cheeks, but decide against it. Well, I'm going back in, I say. My family nods as they stay seated on the blankets. They chat as I head back to the ocean. This time, I'm able to wade into the water until it reaches my knees. I venture further, but I stop before the water reaches my belly button. I shiver. I jump whenever waves come. I keep my navel dry until I'm used to the cold. I slowly take another step, getting my stomach wet. The cold comes as a shock and makes me gasp. I hold my breath, waiting for my body to adjust. Once my belly button is wet, I wade up to my chest. Goosebumps rise all over my body. I walk until the water covers my shoulders. I crouch so that my shoulders stay below the surface. The cold feels nice. As the waves rush by, I jump. At the peak of the wave, I let it lift me from the seabed. I float for a second. Then the push of the wave comes and my feet touch the sand again. I swim in the water like this for an hour. Lauren, it's time to go, calls my mom from the beach. I don't want to go, though. I want to continue my cycle of floating and sinking. Mom yells again. I watch her make her way down to the shore, her blonde brown hair waving in the wind. She has a navy sweater on. I sigh and wade out of the water, shivering. I quiver as I dry myself off and change into my clothes. Kathy and her family leave while I change my clothes. Even with a sweater on, I tremble. Mom, I'm cold, I say. Mom sees me shaking, and her eyebrows come together. Don't worry, we're getting something to eat, she tells me. Something warm. Mom wraps a blanket around me in the car, but I continue quaking. I can see her checking in on me in the rearview mirror. We drive up a path to a crab shack. The weathered gray wood cabin has a deck attached to it. We go inside in order. As we wait in line, Mom places her hands on my shoulders and rubs. After we order, we find a seat inside. I huddle my body together to try and warm up. My mom leans over and rubs my shoulders again. She asks me if I'm still cold. I say yes, and she rubs my shoulders harder. I hope you didn't get hypothermia, my mom says. Her blue eyes stare at me, and her eyebrows come together again. Mom takes my hands and turns them over in hers. I tug my hands away from her grasp and sit on them. Her lips purse. I'll be okay, I reply, smiling. Our food comes. I have a ketchup-flooded hot dog while my mom and Janice share a basket of deep-fried pollock and fries. The hot dog warms me up a bit, but I'm still shivering. After we finish eating, we head back to my Nana's house. The familiar white walls and gray carpet greet me. For once, I'm glad that my Nana doesn't have air conditioning. Pulling my sweater tighter around me, I sit myself in a green armchair. To my left, my other aunt, Carol, sits on a leaf-patterned sofa. She says hi and looks back to the TV. The all-red ensemble she wears makes her look like a giant clown nose. Janice sits beside her. My mom heads upstairs and gets me another sweater. She doesn't say anything about hypothermia. "Lauren, what's wrong?" asks Nana, shuffling into the living room from the kitchen. "I'm just a little cold," I tell her, rubbing my goosebump-covered skin.
That was "The Sea Never Says I'm Sorry," written and read by Lauren Toshiro. That concludes Life Rattle number 1278. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded Lauren reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman. Be sure to tune in next Thursday to hear more new stories.